Begin the current tab, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Vav. Begin 4 lines down at the Tab of the Yomit. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing those that get skila for violating that prohibition. So one of those in the list was, says the Mishnah, Mechalas HaShabbos. If someone desecrates the day of Shabbos, which was counted in the Mishnah as one of those that are niskon to get skila. For example, if let's say if one violates a complete melacha, so then, if it's only talking about bedavar shayovin al zedayin the karis regarding something that if one does it deliberately, one would be liable for karis. Then, if there's a warning and there's witnesses, then they get skila. The al shagagasachatzin, if they do it by mistake, then they have to bring a karmachatzis. For example, it has to be something that has an action. It's also malachas machshevis, which is that it's a calibrated, calculated action and not misasig, which was preoccupied and one unintentionally did something totally different. It's only something that has zadin karis and shagagachatzis, and then if they do it with witnesses and with a warning, then the person would get skila. So says the Gemara, Mechlal, the inference is the Ikamidi, that there is something, the Chil Shabbos Haba, which will be considered desecration of Shabbos, but Ve'en Chayav, one will not be liable, Lo Yashagagas Echatas, not if they do it by mistake, they won't be Chayav Karma Chatas, Ve'lo Yazdan Echaras, and if they do it deliberately, they will not get Karas, which means that they die at a young age. So ask the Gemara, Mahi, what is that? We know there's something called the Lamates Malachas, the 39 creative acts on Shabbos, which have Zadin Karas and Shagri Chatas. What is the exception that, although it's a Chil Shabbos, does not have this category of being Chayv and Skila? So ask the Gemara, two cases. Tchumen Valibad Rebbe Kiva, the Halach of Tchumen, which is the prohibition of going beyond a certain amount, beyond the city limits on Shabbos, which the Rebbe Kiva learns out from Sukkim, Masechta Sayyidav Chav Zayin Mabez, where that Tchumen is biblical, but still, there's not going to be a liable for, by mistake, Chatas and deliberately Karas. And, because it says Rebbe Kiva, because there's Machlokes of Tchumen's Deraisa or Drabanan. So although it's going to be Deraisa, it'll be Chil Shabbos Deraisa, but it's not going to get Karas and Chatas, and therefore not have Skila. And Havar Valibad Rebbe Yesi, and also the Av Malacha of creating a fire, according to Rabbi Yisi, because there's a machlekes if it's lachalik yatzis or lalav yatzis, Rabbi Yisi holds that it was considered, although it's one of the 39, it was mentioned separately in the Torah of Leisavara Ish B'chomesh V'seichem, to tell you that it's downgraded from a regular av malacha that has a death penalty to only having a negative prohibition. And so Rabbi Kiva agrees regarding the lachas of Tchumen that although it's biblical, but there's not going to be a chiv of karas, as the Mishnah teaches in Shabbos Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, that there's only 39 av malachas. And Rabbi Kiva doesn't disagree. He doesn't make it 40 because of Tchumen. Tchumen is a prohibition, but it's not one of the Lamates Melochas, and therefore it's not have a Chiv of Karis, and therefore, if, even with witnesses and with a warning, it's not going to be liable for the death penalty of a Skila. Continuing on the list of those that are Niskalin is Hamakala Avimai, says the next Mishnah, if someone curses his father and his mother, Ein Chayev, he's not going to be liable for a Skila, Achikalim B'Shem, until he curses his parents with one of the primary names of Hashem, where Kilam Bikino, if he cursed them with one of the secondary names, for example, Shakai, Tzvokai, Ischanun, Rachum, which are these all appellations for the Hashem's, how he is in this world, then Remei Mechad, Remei holds that still the person would be Chayiv if he cursed his parents with one of those names of Hashem, whereas Vachacham and Poitim Vachacham, the Tan of HaMishnah, hold that they're going to be exempt. So ask the Gemara, Man Chacham, who are the Chacham of Mishnah that say that if someone curses his parents with one of the kinuyim of Hashem, then he's going to be exempt? So the Gemara, Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yesi, who, the time like, Linda Bryce, Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yesi, I mean, he says, quoting the Pasuk in Vayikra, and this is a Perich of Dal Pasuk Tazayin, the Pasuk there begins, V'noiki V'shem Hashem, if someone curses the name of Hashem, Mois Yumasit shall surely die, Ragam Yirgamo Bay, they're going to stone him, Kola Eda, Kager Kezach, everyone from the whole assembly, the convert and the resident, the organ, they stone him. Because Benok Voishem, our Gemara quotes that because when he cursed the name of God, Yumas, he's going to die. Now, really, it should have just written Benok Voishem. It should have left out the word shame. Benok Voishem, when he cursed, so Yumas, he's going to die. Matam Alem Hashem, what is the word shame, the name, come to teach over there? And that is because if it's not coming to teach anything regarding what the pasuk of the context there is talking about regarding cursing Hashem, because it already says in the beginning of the pasuk v'noikiv shem that he cursed God. What is it then when it repeats again at the end of the pasuk? So it's coming to teach regarding something else, which is always what's known as the mida im ein inyan loy teneri le inyan acher. If it doesn't have pertinence to what the context is talking about, we apply it to something else regarding not cursing God but cursing one's parents. Limit amakal of imer comes to teach regarding some of curses his father and his mother. Sheinachayev ajikal b'shem. That it's not going to be liable until he curses them with the name, which name, the primary name of God, not the secondary name of God. And that is because it's specifically the Chachamah of Mishnah, like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yisi, because he does not hold of what we expounded on Daf Nun Vav Maral from this Pasuk, which the Gemara already addressed the redundancy. And the Gemara said, you know why it says two times the word shame? It's Achivarch shame bishame, until one curses God with God's name. On that, he holds that, no, even if one is not Mevarch shame bishame, even if he's Mevarch with one of the other names, Rabbi Nachman will hold that you're going to be chayiv, and therefore he has the extra word shame to teach a different halacha, which is one is only chayiv if he curses his parents with the name of Hashem, the primary name, and not the kinuyim. That's from Nachman Yisrael, who is the chacham of Mishnah, Naliker Meir, who holds that it's only with the shame and not with the kinuyim. Now, elaborating on the halacha of Mishnah, the Gemara brings time about when the brisa ish, if it says in the pasuk a man, not time ish ish, but what does it teach when it says a man, when it says there in the pasuk, yikal, when he's going to curse his father and his mother, he's going to surely die, he has his blood on him. Why is it repeat ish-ish? Says the b'raisa, l'rabbis basa, comes to the daughter, if she curses her parents. Or tumtum adreginus, or the one, the tumtum who is not clear the gender. Or adreginus who has both genders. It's a androgynous being. That they're all included in the prohibition of, and the punishment of cursing one's parents. Now, it continues the pasuk, it says ish-ish, Ashikalas aves ima, if he's going to curse his father and his mother. Says the Braise, Ainli Elo aves ima, I would only know from this pasuk if he curses both his parents and his father and his mother together. Because it says aves ima, his father and his mother. The vav is always connecting. Aves shla ima, his father and not his mother. Or ima shla aves, his mother and not his father. Minayin, how do you know that even there one is liable? Tamalem, that's the pasuk teaches. It continues, aves ima kilil. His father and his mother he cursed. Dama ba, his blood is on him. In other words, it says there in the pasuk, where it talks about the yikal in the beginning of the pasuk, which is right next to the word as aviv. And then it says ves imay, and at the end it says aviv imay kila. And at the end it has the word kila next to the mother. So it's you take the kila from the beginning of the pasuk to the father, and the end of the pasuk, which is near the mother, and you make the following drasha. Aviv kilil, ima kil, which is, even if one curses only the father, only curses the mother, then there's going to be the liability. That's the rebuyation. That's how he knows that one is liable even for one and not the other. He says, no, that even from the beginning of the pasuk, you would understand that the liability would be for only the father or only the mother, even though the vav of ve'ima and his mother seems to be adding on to what was said first of aviv, that the liability would only be if one curses both his father and his mother. And that's such a beginning, said, no. Mash mishneim ke'echad. The word vav sounds like both them together. U'mash me'echad b'fnei atzmo. And he also has the understanding that it can mean each one individually. Because atche yifred l'cha kosev yachtav. Until the Torah would specify the word together, only then would you know that it has to be together. But if not, the vav could mean both together or could mean each one individually. Because we actually find, by the Isra of Kalayim, of prohibited mixtures, the Torah tells in the Varm Chav Beis, Le'sachrish b'shor b'chamar, do not plow with an ox and with a donkey. And it says specifically, Yachtov, together. Which is because that you shouldn't say that it's forbidden to plow with only an ox, or only with a donkey. Even though there it already says, V'chamar, and a donkey, obviously says Reb Yenizin, that you see from the halacha of Kalayim, of Shor v'chamar Yachtov, that even though it says above, it could still mean individually, and that's what you have to specify over there, Yachtav, in contrast over here, where it doesn't say Yachtav, even though there's above, you know even from the beginning of the pasuk that it's either or. Now, so according to him, what would you do with the end of the pasuk that then repeats it, V'av v'imei kilel, where according to the other interpretation, you needed to say the word imei there is close to kilel, and then you know it's only the mother, whereas in the beginning of the pasuk had the father near the kilel. On that, Rabbi Anderson actually expounds later on, as the Gemara brings in the Pehema Beis, which it includes even if he curses his parents after the death. That's what you learn from the end of the Pasuk, but not to tell you that it's even either or, because that you already know according to even from the beginning of the Pasuk. Now, the Pasuk continues and says, Meis, he shall surely die, the one who curses his parents. On that says the Beis. So Beskila, it means through being stoned. Atoim Beskilas, do you say it's really through stoning? Maybe it's one of the other deaths that are mentioned in the Torah. And that says the Brisa, Nemakan Damabai. Here the Pasuk continues, says his blood is on him. Venemal Halan says the Pasuk later on, Dimeyimbam, their blood is on them. Now Mal Halan just ago, but there that's talking about Oibi Yudaini, those who practice the sorcery of Oibi Yudaini, it's Beskila. They get, it says blood over there, and it means stoned, because the Pasuk there says explicitly, Be'evin Yurgum Oisam, that they get stoned with the rocks. Avkam Beskila, here also it says the term Damabai, it means through being stoned. Says the Gemara, Ein Shemanu. So we learn from this pasuk regarding the penalty, the punishment of one who curses his parents, which is the topic of our Mishnah. Azhar Minayim, but where do we know that there's a warning? The Torah has to give you both a warning and the punishment. Tam Lema, that's what the pasuk teaches. In Shemais, it says, Elohim lo sekal, one should not curse Elohim, v'gayim, etc. And it says, V'nasi v'amcha leisar, and that one should not curse the nasi, the leader of the people. Now, says the Braise, Emhaya Av Dai. Now, if this person who's cursing his father, if his father was a judge, that's already included in the Torah when it says, do not curse Elikim. Which Elikim, when it says in other psukim, it says that you bring the judgment before Elikim, it means the judges. So if his father was a judge, you see clearly he's not allowed to curse him. So that's where the warning would be from. Emhaya Av Nasi, and if his father was the leader of the Jewish people, it's included the end of the passage, it says he's not allowed to curse the Nasi. Now, but says the Braise, but ain't a dying, but nasi minayim. But let's say his father is not a dying or not a nasi. How do you know he's not allowed to curse? Where's the azar, the warning for that type of a father not to curse? So Amrit, you would say hare ata dun binyan av mishneim. You would learn that what's known as a binyan av, which is a building, the primary building block, which is to learn out the principle from. In this case, from both of them, because you actually can't learn it out from only one of them. But from both of them, you could learn out that the same thing would apply to every father. How so? Says the Gemara, as Leira'i Nasi Kiri'i Dain, because the characteristic of a Nasi is not the characteristic of a judge. Veloi'i Dain, and neither is the characteristic of a judge. In other words, that this, there's a certain stringency that applies by the judge, is not Kiri'i Nasi. Is that does not apply by the prince, by the leader. And even so, you see that the Nasi is warned. So the Gemara explains, that the characteristic of a judge is not like the characteristic of the Nasi. Why? Because you could ask and say that, in other words, you would not know Nasi from a Dayan. Shari Dayan, not the Mitzvah, because regarding a judge, you're commanded, and there's a liability of death, Al Hayra Asai, regarding his teachings. Because the Pasuk says in Devarim Yudzayin, V'shamarta lasis kachal asher yiruchu, you should watch to safeguard like everything he teaches you, and whoever does deliberately not like that will get the death penalty. Kiri'i Nasi, in contrast, by the Nasi, well, you're not commanded to follow necessarily what he says in Halacha. So maybe we would not know Nasi from Dayan. And so too the other way around. Neither is a characteristic of the Nasi like that of the judge. Shah Nasi, because in regards to the prince, you could ask and you could say, where there, at the Mitzvah, you're commanded at the penalty of death, Al Hamra Asi, regarding your rebelliousness. Where, in regards to a judge, we were never said regarding a commandment not to rebel against his word, but a nasi, that there was a commandment not to rebel against his commandment, and as it says by Yeshua, it says kol esha sheyimres picha, it says whoever's going to rebel against you will get killed. Kiri'i dayin shiyat mitzvah al merasa, in contrast to a judge, where although we're commanded regarding his teachings, but regarding rebelling against his word, there was no death penalty set up with it. So each one, you would not know one from the other. And they're each one different, so you can't say that's the defining characteristic because the other one doesn't have that. Hatzara Shavashim, what's the common denominator you see from both of them? Is Shehein Ba'amcha, where they're both amongst your people, which is like the word of the Pasuk, says V'nosi Ba'amcha Le'tarad, which means to say they're Eisen Ma'isa Amcha, they do the acts of the people, they're like a full-fledged Jew, and Vata Mozal Kalasa, and you're warned regarding cursing them. Afani Avichas, and if I would include any of a regular your father, Sheba Amchu, who's a part of your people and is a Shemit Termitzes, but the Muzal Kalasa, and therefore you'll be warned regarding his curse, because you can't say it's because of, he's clearly Hayru Asa, because that doesn't apply by us. It can't be because of Hamru Asa, because that doesn't apply to Adayin. What's the common denominator? Is that the Oysa Maisa Amcha? So then, therefore, that warning would apply to every father. That is the Braisa, but Malat Sara Shavashaben, but wait. There's still a more refined common denominator between the two of them, Shekin Gidulas and Garmalan, because it's still their elevated status that causes to be warned regarding cursing them. One's regarding his psak, and one's regarding his leadership. But that doesn't apply to every regular person's father. Tamalema, that's the puzzle teaches the Mayikraba. It says, Lysikal Cherish, a person is not allowed to curse a deaf mute.
which teaches that the Torah is even telling us regarding the lowly people amongst your people in other curse. So therefore, that for sure would apply to a person's father too.
However, ask the Brisa, but wait, malacheresh, but what's a common, what's a uniqueness about a deaf mute? Shekin charishasa garmala, because it's his fact that he's a deaf mute that's causing it. In other words, since he's so lowly, the Torah warns not to embarrass and degrade him and to hurt him by cursing him, because he takes it to heart and he's in pain regarding his lowly status. In contrast to a regular person's father who said that there was a specific warning not to curse him.
Says the Brisa, but nasi v'dan yechichu. But a judge and a leader will disprove that unique characteristic of cherish to say that's why he's warned because of his lowliness. They're not lowly, and there's a warning we're going to curse them too.
But then the question goes, but wait, malu nasi v'dan, but you can't learn that from nasi v'dan either. Shekin gidulasin gramalan, because it's their elevated status that causes the uniqueness of their position not to be cursed.
Well, then cherish yechich, but the deaf mute disproves that and says, well, that's not the reason of not to be picked out of to be cursed, because Cheresh doesn't have that, and yet it is for one not to be cursed.
So b'chaz adin, so then the logic goes back and tells us, Lairi izeh kirizeh. The unique characteristic of this one is not like the unique characteristic of this one, but Lairi izeh kirizeh, and neither is this one like that one.
Hatzad HaShav HaShem, what's the common denominator where we find through all those three cases, Shehin Ba'amcha, they're one of your people, Vata Muzal Kalosin, and you're warned we're going to curse them, Afeni Avi Avicha, Sheba Amcha, so I'm also going to bring your father from your people, Vata Muzal Kalosin, and you'll also be warned regarding cursing them.
Because generally we say that the principle is a Binya Av, we say, well, what's the Torah teaching us with this case? Can't be because of elevated status, or because even the cherish. Can't be lowly, because even nasi dayin. Must be what's the commonality between all of them, is that they're just a regular Jew, they're oisim eisa amcha, and therefore that should apply to a father too.
But, says the Brisa, malat tzad ha-shavash ben, but when if one refines the commonality between all the three cases, you can still say shekin meshunin, they're still different than a regular person. One, because he's very lowly, which is the cherish, and two, because they have elevated statuses. Now, because as the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Koftes Vav Mabez, that whenever you have a mahad tzad, like in this case, where you're finding, well, what do we find over here? What's the commonality? Well, let's compare it to everywhere else. Even the smallest type of question could reject that mahad tzad. Like in this case, because they're different. Because it's not like what's known as a tzad chamer. Well, there's a certain stringency that applies to them. Maybe they have the stringency of not cursing them. Because if it was because of tzad chamer, that wouldn't be a good question. Because one's father also has a tzad chamer. Because one's father is compared to the honor of Hashem. So therefore, it must be just because of what's called a pircha kaldu. Well, there's still something unique about them, which is that they're different. How would you know one's father? Ella rather says the Gemara that you're right. We don't learn out the ashara of cursing one's father from the binyan av, from the commonality of these. Rather, through a different Talmudic principle known as im'ena inyan, which is a biblical a principle of learning out, interpreting, extrapolating psukim, which is if it doesn't apply for this, well, it's going to be for something else which is similar. Because im'kain, if that was the case, that we wouldn't be telling you a source for a warning for cursing one's parents, well, the nichtiv krad, then the pasuk should have only written out two of these three things. So you're right, from a ma'atzad we can't know it, but we can know it from an im'ena inyan. How so? Because let the pasuk have only written, oy elikim b'cheresh, only, let's say, two of those cases, one of the elikim, the judge, and the deaf mute. And I would have known the nasi from a mahatzad. Because we would say, well, the characteristic of a judge is different because he's of his elevated status, because you warned regarding his psak, but cherish is different because you're not warned regarding his psak. Yet, regarding the cherish, it's because of his lowliness. Well, you can't say that because the judge is not because of his lowliness. So what's the common denominator between those two? Where they're ba'amcha, they're one of your people, so too I would know the nasi. And here you can't ask like we asked before regarding if we thought we would learn a father from Matzad from those three, where you said Shekim Meshunan, because the nasi is also Meshunah. And therefore we would know nasi from the Elohim, from the judge, and from the Cheresh. So why are you saying, why are you having a pasuk of nasi? Oh, or say nasi v'cheresh. Say only the leader and the deaf mute, and I would know the judge from Mahatzad from those two. So Elohim Lama Lisa, why does the Torah mention the third one of the judge? If it's not telling anything for itself, because I would know Elohim from Nasi and Cheresh, so it's extra to tell us something that's similar to that, which is regarding one's father, where that's the source for the prohibition of cursing one's father. Now, however, the Gemara asks, That's only very good according to the one that says when the pasuk over here mentions Elohim, it's mundane, meaning it's coming to warn us not where sometimes Elohim means a god, it means regarding a judge, because sometimes the word Elohim is used in the context of a judge. So good. So then we said a judge, we would know from a commonality between the Nasi and the Cheresh, what's it said for? Imeinu inin for Dayan, so it's coming to teach us regarding the Father. Elamanda makadosh, but according to the one that says that actually here is a warning regarding cursing God, when it says Elohim leisakal, it doesn't mean the judge, it means God. So Michael Amema, what are you going to say? There is no extra pasuk. Because it's not, you couldn't know Elohim from the Nasi and the Cheresh, because there's no Shaykh. It's not a similar thing regarding a leader or someone that has greatness. It's told by God. It's a whole different context. To tell like Linda Bryce, it's actually Machlekes how to learn this word in that pasuk. When it says Elohim, so the first opinion says Chol, it's mundane. You pronounce it Elohim. That's the Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, says, no, Elohim, it's Kaidish, it's holy. As Vitania has written in Brisa, but Lesbian Yaakov, he says that as Har Lumavarchas Hashem Inayim, we didn't know the source for the warning of cursing God. Tamaloyme Elohim, Lesakal, it says, do not curse Elohim, which refers to God. So therefore, we're back to the question, according to that interpretation, where are you going to know a source for cursing one's father? You can't know it from Elohim, because Elohim is not extra, because that's the source for teaching Mavarchas Hashem. So that answers the Gemara. Lamanda am Elohim Chol, according to the one which we said it would be good according to, that says that the word Elohim is mundane, and that's where the source of, we say, would tell us regarding a judge, which is not necessary because you know it from Nasi and Cheresh, and therefore telling us regarding the Father. By default, you would have to say, Gamar Kodesh Michael, that you would learn out the holy Elohim from the mundane Elohim, because we don't find any other explicit source of Mevarchas Hashem, only from here. So, where would you know that from? You would learn out Elohim from Elohim. So therefore, you could say the same thing in the reverse, says the Gemara. Lamanda me Elohim Kodesh, according to one who learns it as holy, as talking about God, Gamrinachil me Kodesh. We also do it the other way around. We learn out the mundane Elohim from the holy Elohim, which that would be the source of the warning regarding a judge, which is to tell us that there's a prohibition. We know it from the holy Elohim, which then we say, so what's it necessary for? It's extra. Oh, that's coming to teach us regarding cursing one's father. Now, the assumption right now is that we were saying we would know it from a Mamad Sinu, just like we find by Kaidish, so to apply to Chayil. And therefore the Gemara asks, well, Bishlam Lamandam Elohim Chayil, according to the one that says that when it says Elohim Leisakal, it means the mundane Elohim, meaning a judge. So Gamma Kaidish Mechel, we could understand, if one is forewarned regarding cursing a mundane Elohim, meaning a human judge, for sure he's forewarned regarding cursing God. Elamanda me Elohim Kodesh, but according to one who learns it, that is, it's referring to God. Gomer chil me Kodesh. So how could you say that we learn out the mundane, meaning to say that if you can't curse Elohim, you can't curse Elohim. Dima Kodesh Azah. How could you say that? Maybe the Torah only warns regarding the holy one, meaning regarding Hashem. Achay lo yazer. Maybe there is no one regarding the mundane Elohim regarding a judge. How can you know it? Hashem is Hashem? How could you say this even applies to a judge? And that's what the Gemara Im came, but if that would be the case, Lichtiv Kro Loisakil. The Nitzar should have written not Loisakal, but rather the Loisakil, which could connote both a lightness and also referring to cursing. As we continue to Medbez, my Loisakal Leil. Why does it say two lamids, which sounds like two curses, and also the word Elohim could mean two words too? Therefore, Shema Minotarati, therefore we infer two things. When it says Leisakal, it's going on both Elohim and Elohim, and therefore, since we have a source for Elohim, which is not necessary because we can know it from Nasi and Cheresh, that's extra to tell you, in Loi, Tenei in Lov, if that's the source of Lasara for our previous Mishnah, of cursing one's father, that it's forbidden, and we have the other pasuk to tell us regarding the punishment. Continuing on that same theme regarding those who get Skilo, says the next Mishnah, Baal Naira Rasav. Someone has relations with an engaged Naira. So Enechayiv is not going to be liable for the death penalty of Skila until you have the following characteristics. That Naira, that she be a Naira, which is roughly around the age of 12 until 6 months later when she's 12 and a half. Because in contrast, if she'd be a minor, and because her father engaged her, and if someone has relations to her when she's a minor, actually would not get Skila, which is a Machlekes Tanoim, as the Gemara will tell us, according to one opinion, he gets Chenek. Or he's actually totally exempt, but not going to get skila. It's only if she's a naira, and that she's a besula, she's a virgin, and not that she had relations once before. And my rasa that she's only engaged and not married, meaning even if she only went to the chuppah and didn't even have relations yet, still, even though she's a basula, but she's not called a ma'irasa, she's not engaged, she's already considered married when she has chuppah. Here it's only when she's a naira ha-ma'irasa, engaged. And v'hi b'vesavia, also that she still be in her father's household, which excludes if, let's say, her father already gave her over just to the agents, the messengers that are bringing her to her husband's home, and she was actually mezana with this man on the road, still, it's not going to be liable for the special, unique death penalty of skila of a naira marasa. Now, continues the Mishnah, if bo lo shnaim, if during the period when she's a naira marasa, two men have relations with her. Now, she's still qualified as seemingly as a naira marasa because she's still a besula, she's still a virgin. How so? Once the first one has relations with her, it's because he's bo lo shalikadarka in the unnatural way, anally, which doesn't take away her virginity. So harishim beskila. However, the first one gets skila because the pasuk says mishkevi isha. If one lays with a woman, it says in the plural, there's two ways of laying with a woman. Therefore, it's still considered having bia, and it's with a naim arasa. So the first one would get skila. V'hasheni bechenek. But the second one would only get strangulation because she is already considered a ba'ula. Because this anonymous mishnah is like Rabbi who says that even if a woman has relations shaloi kedarka, it still makes her not a besula anymore, as the Gemara will tell us later on. Now, the Gemara explains the halacha of a Mishnah in detail. The pasuk says in Devarim, which is going in the pasuk that says kisiya naira besula mayrasa. The pasuk in Devarim Chavbeis says if a girl will be a naira besula mayrasa, and there in that context it says that they get skila. So the Braisa takes apart each word of the pasuk. It says naira, which is when she brings two pubic hairs until the time period when there is more black than white in the pubic region. So it's then when she's engaged and that she's a basula that then the man will get skila. But v'loy begeris, but not when she's already begeris, which there's a period of 6 months from when she becomes a naira until she becomes a begeris, which is like would be called 12 and a half. Then already, even if she's engaged and basula and so on, it would not be skila anymore. So the pasuk continues that she has to be a besula virgin, v'leibula, not if she already had relations. It says that she's mayras engaged, v'leinasua, not if she's married. Now, earlier pasuk says, b'vesavia, that in our father's household, which in the context of the meitzi shemra, which is in the same sense, is talking about when a girl was engaged. And then after the first night of marriage, the husband comes to court and he says a bad name about her, saying that, oh, Liznei Spesavia, she was mezana when she was in her father's household, meaning when she was a Naira HaMairasa, which is the whole thing, if he made it up, the penalty he gets, or if he was right, and then she gets stoned, as the Pasuk says over there, which is the parish of Naimarasa. It's just talking about in the context of the day, the morning after, when he claims that she was mezana when she was engaged. So that tells us that's only when it's Bevei Savi, when she's in her father's household. Prat l'shemasra av l'shluch abal, that excludes if the father already gave her over to the, not even to the husband yet, but just to the agents of the husband, it already excludes her from the parasha of Naim Arasa. And there's not going to be a death penalty of skila. Now, Amar Avid Merav, he says, Zu, this teaching of our Mishnah that says until she's a Naira, sounds like that it's coming to exclude if she's a minor, is Divir Emer. That's our Mishnah is going like the opinion of Reb Meir, who says in Masechet Ksubis in the beginning of Perek Eli Nairis and of Chavtes and Aleph, that says that a minor, if she's violated by a man, that she and her father do not get from that man a penalty of 50 silver coins. Because the Torah tells us there, if a man is ma'anas, a naira, which tells us only a naira, which is 12 years old, and not a minor. So therefore, the same thing would apply, says Rabbi Yehuda Merav in our Mishnah. Since the Torah tells us she's a naira hamayrasa, tells us only if she's a naira, not if she's a minor. But that's only according to Reb Meir. Aval chachamim, but the chachamim who disagreed, Reb Meir over there in Masechtas Ksubis, and they say that there actually is what's known as knas b'mokem mecher, that even by a minor daughter who one can sell as a maidservant, if she's violated by a man, the man will have to give a knas, because they hold that naira is lav dafka, it includes even the katana. So they would disagree also over here in the context of the halacha of Mishnah, and even they would say that naira marasa regarding this naira marasa filikatan v'mashma, that would include even a minor, and if a man has relations with her when she's engaged and she's a basula would get skila, and because the Torah is only excluding and says she's a naira, it's not excluding, but if she's younger, which is a katana, but rather it's only excluding when she's older, when she's a begaris, then there wouldn't be this halacha of skila. Now on that I'm leiravacham a diftil ravina. Yes, ravina. Where does Rabbi Yehuda Merav know that the halacha of a mishnah is like Reb Meir ulam utigatana nami, because when it says she has to be naira, it's excluding not only begeris, which is older, but also gatana, which is younger. Dima rabbani, maybe the halacha of a mishnah is like the rabbanan ulam utigatana besulai, and it's only coming to exclude what's older, which is a begeris, but nothing else. It's not excluding necessarily a minor, which is younger. Maybe minor is also going to get skila. So Malais Ravin responded to me, says, if that would be the case, so hi, this that it says in the Mishnah, ain't a chayiv, he's not going to be liable ashtei nair besulam arasa until she's going to be a nair besulam arasa. But that terminology sounds like that it's explicitly coming to exclude a minor. Because it sounds like that it's saying, well, you're not chayiv when she's a girl growing up until she's old enough and that she's going to be a naira. Because if it was coming to exclude only a begeres, then the Mishnah should have said a different wording. Should have said, in a chayiv is only going to be liable, ella al naira besulam arasa mibarlein. That's what it should have said, al. But not ad. Ad sounds like until, where she reaches the age of naira. And therefore says, Ravina Basulamidi, there's nothing more to talk about, that most definitely our Mishnah is like the way Rav Yehuda Rav said, only that when she's a naira, which is like Reb Meir. Now, so therefore related to that halacha, Boimene Reb Yaakov Ad Meirav. Says, Bo al hakatana ma'iras la Reb Meir. So if someone does have relations with an engaged girl that's a minor, according to Reb Meir, who again, as we said, explained the halacha, the Mishnah, of according to Reb Meir, which said that a minor is not included in the halacha of Naim Arasa, so what would the halacha be then? So good, so there's no skill over there, but what is the halacha? As the Gemara explains, Lagami Mamaitle, do we say that we totally exclude the man who has relations with her, where we say that the man is going to be totally exempt from the death penalty? Because since she's exempt, because she's under the age of 12, she doesn't get punished for any aver that she does, and therefore would not qualify for what the pasuk says, Umesu Gamishnem, that they both die, which it says regarding a regular case of when the man has relations with a married woman, that you can't apply that because she doesn't get. So would we say that the man in this case also wouldn't get any death penalty? Or maybe no. When we're saying that it's only by Naira Hamayrasa, which excludes a minor, what's it excluding the Ketana from? From Skila. But if he has relations with her when she's a minor, he won't get Skila, but he'll get the lower death penalty, however, of Chenik, like there is by a regular married woman. So what's Halacha? So Amalei, so Rav responded to me, says, Mistaber Miskila Maitle. It's logical to say that when it's excluding the Ketana, if he has relations with an engaged minor, it's only from Skila, but not from the death penalty. And there will still be a death penalty of Chenek. Now, however, he asked him, but Vaksiv, but the Pasuk says in Devarim, Umesu Gam Shneim, that they both die, which sounds like Atshi Yishneim Shem, until they're both the same, meaning it's only if both of them get death. But here in the case of the minor, where she's not going to get killed, he also should not get killed, no death penalty, not even Chenek. So the Gemara tells that Shasik Rav, Rav was silent. On that, Shmuel said, my time is Shasik Rav. Why was Rav silent in the face of that question? But then, namely, he should have told him a pasuk later on, which is in the context of the, when a man violates a woman, which is talking about a girl that's engaged. It says in the pasuk that if the man finds her in the fields, this engaged girl, and he grabs a hold of her and he lays with her. So the pasuk says, Umeso isha sheshocha v'imod levadli. So the man who lay with her, only he's going to die. She's not going to, because she was raped. She was violated. She didn't do it out of her own volition. Now, but why does it say in the pasuk, levadoi, him alone? What's it necessary for? If you would think it's coming to say that, to tell us that only he gets punished and not her, but the pasuk explicitly says that, or it says, v'lanar l'sasadav, but the girl, you don't do anything. She was violated. Rather, that what it says, Shmuel, the pasuk is coming to teach us to include even one who has relations with a minor with her consent. And the chiddush of that would be because although the exempt of that girl would not be because she was violated, because she was raped and forced, rather only because she's a minor, because she's not a bas engine, but you would see from the extra word levada that he's the only one that's liable and not her. So why didn't Rav respond and say, what, you're asking me that they both have to be the same, but I can bring you another pasuk from the extra word levada that teaches that there are cases, like the case of Oinus, and also by the case of the extra word levada which teaches you for Ketana, that yes, that the man would be chayiv, even though the woman's not chayiv for Misa. And the Gemara actually tells us, Ketanoi, the questioner and the response of Shmuel, is actually, we find, is a machlekes tanoim. The pasuk says, Umesu Gam Shneim, that they both die, both the man and the woman who had this illicit relationship, tells us, Achiyu Shneim Shav, until they're both the same, that they both should be the age of getting punished, which would exclude the case of when she's a minor, that then they would not get punished. That's the Rebbe Yishai. Rabbi Yonasan, he says, no, the pasuk says, that the man who lay with her, he himself will get punished, which we said the word levada is extra to tell us that even if she's not going to get killed because she's a minor, he will get the death penalty. So that's actually, we find this actually machlokes tanoim. Now the Gemara clarifies, now that we see that the question that we had is a machlokes tanoim, so v'idach, according to Rabbi Yonasan, so this pasuk that says, and that they both die, my darshbe, what does he expound from it? The other one wanted to say that it excludes when she's a minor that he does not get the death penalty. He holds that you do get the death penalty. So what do you learn out from the pasuk of meisig gam shneim? So Rav, he says, it's lemu'utei meisig chidudim. It's coming to exclude when the man performs an act of stimulation, and that is he hardens his male member from her flesh on the outside, where then he gets pleasure, but she doesn't get any pleasure. That's why it says in the pasuk that they both die, meaning that they both should be the same, meaning what type of arayas are we saying for a married woman with a man that is going to be the punishment is when in the case of when they're both the same, meaning they're both getting pleasure. In contrast, when it's all external, even though he's getting pleasure, but since she's not getting pleasure, that's the Torah is telling you, in that case, they're not going to die. It's only when there was an act of penetration where then they're both getting pleasure. Now, however, Rashi says, although shaloi kedarkei, in the unnatural way, anally, although in that case she also does not get pleasure, but still we know that in that case that there is a death penalty, that's because that's actually learned out from a different pasuk of Mishkav v'Isha, which it says in the plural, the ways of laying with a woman, generally there's only one way, there is another way that the Torah is including, although she doesn't get pleasure, that the Torah is including explicitly anyway, that there will be a death penalty in that case. Now, v'idach, but the other opinion, Rabbi Yeshia, he would tell you that ma'aseh chedudim lav klum, an act of stimulation, it's nothing. It's not an act of bia. We don't need a pasuk to exclude that. And therefore, he's not bothered by where would he know that halacha from, which the Gemara generally asks, because he says it's not even an act of bia, of copulation, to have to exclude it from getting a death penalty. Now, actually, there are those who, instead of learning ma'aseh chedudim, actually learn ma'aseh hurdis, which is similar context, whereas the Gemara tells him Baba Basta of Gimel Mabez that he actually concealed the body of one of the daughters of the Beit Chashmonaim for 7 years in honey, and he had relations with her. So in that type of case, where he's having a relation with a corpse, that's being excluded because it's not Gam Shnehem, there's obviously only one side to this. That's the case where it was discussed, and that's being excluded from a Meisu Gam Shnehem. Now the Gemara says, V'idach, now according to Rabbi Yeshia, Hai Levade my Darshbe, what does he do with Rabbi Yonasan's pasuk of Levade, which he was coming to include the death penalty of the man when he has relations with a minor, which Rabbi Yeshia disagrees, so what does he do with that pasuk? Ketan L'Lena Braisa teaches us the following halacha. Ba'o le'asar b'nei Adam, if 10 men had relations with her, with the Nair Marasa, Vadain hi besula, and she's still a besula. How's that possible? Is because they all had relations with her anally, and therefore her virginity is still there. So it says the Tanna Kama kulam beskila. So they all get skila. They're all having relations with a naimara hamarasa. That's a besula, and it's still bevesavia. Rabbi Yami, he disagrees, and that's what this pasuk is coming to teach according to Rabbi Yeshia. Harisha beskila. He says no. Only the first man gets skila, but kulam chenik. But the rest of them get the death penalty of chenik, which is for a regular married woman. Because by skila, as we said before, it says the word levada, which, as we said, is superfluous. Now, according to Rabbi Yeshia and according to Rebbe, it's coming to exclude such a case because although, yes, she's still a besula, but the skila is only going to be for one of them, the one who, when he was laying with her, was levada, he was a singular, meaning he was the first man to have relations with her. He was the only one that, in that sense, was monogamous. He was the only one that she had relations with. In contrast, the second guy, and the third guy, and the fourth guy, they're not levada, he's just added to the list. That they're going to get chenek. That's what Rabbi Yechiel learns off in the word levadli. A related discussion to this halacha of Rabbi, the Gemara says, "Turn about and learn the brayse." The pasuk says in Yikra, "Uvas ish kain." If the daughter of a man who is a kain, kisech liznus, when she will profane herself, a lashon of chilul of having znus as a married woman. So Rabbi Yemer, he says that actually, although the word kisechil means of chilul, it also can mean sechil from the word of tchila, which it means that it the beginning, which Gemara is going to shortly explain what that means. That's when the halacha of basish kohen who gets a unique death penalty of sreifa will apply. And so too we find a precedent in the Torah. It says, "Umeisa isha shevshachavim alavadli," that the man who laid with her, the naimarasa lavadli, he alone will get the death penalty. So this is Gemara. My Kama, what is Rebbe saying, and what's he comparing to v'chein to the halacha of violating a naimarasa? So I'm Rav Huna Beredi Bishuah, it says, Rebbe Kribi Shmol severely. Rebbe holds Rebbe Shmol that was mentioned in the beginning of the parak. Dhamma that he says, Arusa Yatzlis Refi, says that the halach of a Bas Kayin, which if she was mezana when she was with a man, specifically if she was engaged, then she'll get a special death penalty of sreifa. But if she was married, then she's like every married woman, not sreifa, but chenek. And v'hachim, this is what Rebbe is saying. Im tchilas bia biznus, when he says the word kisechel, tells you if the beginning of her bia was with znus, meaning again when she's engaged, and this is the first bia that she's ever having, which is what's her first bia, her first active relationship she's ever having is with znus, because she's only engaged, not married yet, she never had relations yet, at least not permissibly, and this is the first one that she's doing in znus, because she's already engaged to a man. That's when the Torah tells you b'sreifa, like Rabbi Shmuel had said. But in the other situations, if it's not the first time she's having an active bia, then it's only going to be with chenek. And my v'chein, so what is he comparing to the case of someone who's ma'anas naimirasa? It's ki hasam, like over there, which is ma'hasam, just like over there by the naimirasa, which we said that is unique, where the one who has relations with an engaged naira, is that it's not going to be as degeneric chenek, but it's going to be upgraded to skila. Just like over there, we find it, b'tchilas bia, komishtoy kra, and it's talking about the first act of bia that she's ever had. As we said before, Rebbe himself had taught us that it says in the pasuk levadai, which tells us only if it's the first act of bia she's ever had, which excludes if it's the second act of bia. So therefore, hachinami, here also it says Rebbe comparing the halacha by the Bas Kayin, b'tchilas bia k'mishtoy k'ra, the pasuk is also telling you regarding only if it's the first time of bia, that's when she's going to get the death penalty of sreifa if it's a first act of bia. And that's why the Torah is telling you when she's a naira besula and she's a rusa, that's what the Torah is telling you where it's uniquely for the Bas Kayin, just like by the Naim Rasa, so too by the Bas Ish Kayin. That's what Rebbe was teaching. Now, however, Amalei Rabbi Barabai, he says, Mar loy hachi ama, my master did not say the interpretation you just said. Umane, who is my master? As we find many times in Shas. So Rabbi Yosef, we have all these discussions where Rabbi Yosef was the Rebbe of Abai, and Abai would ask him all these questions. Rather, he said that it's not that this Brisa of Rebbe is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, Rebbe Kiremeir Svile. Actually, Rebbe holds like Kiremeir. Dama that he says that a Bas Kayin, even if she's married, but if she's married to a kosher person, a person she's allowed to be married, would still get the death penalty of being Mezana of Sreifa, not just when she's engaged, like you're saying, of Rabbi Shmuel. But what he is teaching Rebbe in this price is, Nisis La'echem in Absulim. But if let's say he's married to one of those which are, she's married to one of the people that she's forbidden to, which actually, what that sounds like is that she's already was mechul, she was already desecrated from the moment she got married. Then is what Rebbe was saying. Then only misas bechani. Then the death penalty is only going to be with strangulation. And this is what Rebbe was saying when he said that kisechel liznes means a word of tchila of the beginning. Rebbe was saying im tchilas achalos biznos, if the beginning of her desecration of her stature as a bas kohen was the first time with znus, then b'sreifa, then she's going to get a death penalty of b'sreifa, meaning not that her first act of bia is with znus. She's already married. She's married her a few years. But she never had done anything wrong yet in sin. But if her first becoming desecrated was with the act of znus, then it's b'sreifa. But v'idach b'chenik. But if, let's say, she'd already been married to a apostle, someone that she's not supposed to be married to, and therefore she was already mechula, she already was downgraded from her stature, already desecrated herself to some extent, then, although she wasn't mezana, now that she's mezana, although that there's going to be a death penalty, it's going to be only chenek, and it's not going to be sreifa. That's the teaching that Rebbe was going like, not like Rebbe Shmuel, but rather like Rebbe Meir, but it was teaching us this other halacha, that it has to be that the first, that this is the first time she's been mechala herself in conscience when she was married to an apostle. But if that's the case, says the Gemara, so then umay b'chein. So then this becomes a little bit more difficult. So what is he comparing to the Naim Rasa? Because by the first interpretation, it was uniform. It was saying that if this is her first act of Bia, just like by Naim Rasa. But the way Abai is explaining it from Rav Yosef, here by the Bas Kayin, we're saying it's not particular, only that it should be the first time of she's been mechala herself, but not the first act of Bia. It could be even if she was married a few years. In contrast, by Naim Rasa, there it's particular regarding being the first act of Bia. That continues the Gemara. Top of Samach Zayin Manav. You're right. Simona ba'alma. It's just a sign, a memory to remember that the Torah is particular about beginnings. Where there of we find by the Naim Rasa was the beginning of her the first act of bia she ever had. So too over here by the Bas Kayin who is mezana. It doesn't mean the first act of bia that she had, but it's the first act of chil that she had. So it's not exactly the same according to this interpretation, but it's still, you can still say v'chein. So do you find that the Torah has this particularity with the first, as we find many times, the Rashis, the Bechar, we find the first to be, says that's what Rebbe's teaching, that just like over there, the first act of Bia is what the Torah is particular regarding giving skill of an Amirah, say also for the Bas Kohen, to give her Sreifa is not, according to this interpretation, the first act of Bia, but the first act of Chil that she's doing. In contrast, if she was already married, although she was in a monogamous relationship with her husband, but it was someone that she was possible to marry, then if she's Mezana as an Eish HaSish, she's not going to get Sreifa, but rather she's going to get just Chanukah.